The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Ladies, I appreciate that. Take your Bible, please, and go back to the book of John in chapter 8 and verse 12. And I was, of course, out soul winning yesterday and knocking doors. And, of course, normally I wear glasses when I show people the scriptures because I just can't see them. And so I pulled them off to be able to help somebody, and I broke them. And so if you'll see my sermon this morning, my font is a pretty big so that I can actually see what I'm trying to say here. I wore some glasses in Sunday school, but they're those magnifying glasses. You know what I'm talking about? You buy them at Walmart specials, you know. And man, when I take them down and look up, everybody gets dizzy. And so to keep you from your light is needed. Your light is needed. In the book of John, chapter 8 and verse 12, here's what the Bible says again for reiteration's sake. The Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have," and I like this phrase, "the light of life." And if you were to go into the tabernacle of the Old Testament, one of the first things you would see if you were to walk into the tabernacle would be the table of showbread. On the table of showbread, you would see that there would be bread. That's why they call it the table of showbread. But you'll also understand that the bread there was symbolic or was a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the bread, if you will, of the world. He is that which is the living bread. We shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So it's not just by bread that we get a picture of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, if you're standing at the table of showbread and you were to look not too far across, you would see another item there, and that is the golden candlestick. The golden candlestick also being that which is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to walk around in that which was the tabernacle of the Old Testament, you would see that everything that would be in the tabernacle would simply point to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And so every place you would go inside of the tabernacle, it would be a witness of the triune Godhead. You would be able to understand while visiting inside of the Old Testament tabernacle how important it is for us to be able to see God working in our lives, how important it is for us to be able to see Jesus Christ working in our lives, and the blessed Holy Spirit, how important it is for us to be able to see He working in our lives. Now, because of that, and because everything that we would see in the Old Testament tabernacle and everything that we see today, I want to preach this morning on your light is needed. Your light is needed. There's not one person sitting under the pitch of my voice that's not important to God. Every single person in this room, yea, on property here today, is important to God. Now let's examine that light. Can we do it? Over in John chapter 1 in verse 5, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "The light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." All right, so here's what we understand, that we're supposed to take him, that is the light, into darkness. Years ago, there was a little boy, and he had a flashlight, and he went outside, and he took that flashlight, and he would turn it on, and he would turn it off, and he would turn it on and off and on and off and on and off, and he just kept doing that over and over again, pressing that button on the end, and Mom walked out, and she said, "What in the world are you doing that for?" He said, "Mom, it is absolutely phenomenal." He said, "I can poke holes in the darkness." Now, did you know that you and I, by our testimony, is poking holes in the darkness. You and I are supposed to be able to be that testimony. How is it that we can be that testimony? We're supposed to take him. That is the light. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to take him, and we're supposed to take him into the darkness. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means this, that Jesus said, and you've heard me quote this many times over, especially during an invitation time, where he says that he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So there's only one way to heaven, but the world doesn't understand that. The world does not get that. The world, many times more than not, has adopted religion in their life, and they don't know about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And may I say this to you as a friend, just because a person has religion doesn't mean that they're going to go to heaven. There's going to be a lot of people that go to hell because they're holding on to their religion. I want to testify that you do not go to heaven because of the fact that you're a Baptist. Oh, but you say, preacher, you have Baptists on the outside sign out there that identifies who we are and what we believe, but it does not identify a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's been many times I've taken the Bible and showed a Baptist deacon how to be saved. There's been some times in my life, too, that I can recall right now as I'm speaking, where I've taken the Bible and showed a Baptist preacher how to be saved. Just because you're Baptist does not mean you're going to go to heaven. Just because a person is a Methodist or some other type of religious gathering or institution that they connect themselves with doesn't mean that they're going to go to heaven. Matter of fact, if that religion teaches another way to heaven other than Jesus Christ, more than likely those followers are deceived and they know not the truth. All right? So we understand this. We understand that we are supposed to take him. Who is that? That's Christ. There's a lost and dying world out there that's walking in darkness. There's a lost and dying world out there that knows not Christ as their Savior. And what we're supposed to do is take the gospel of the light of the world, the good news for all humanity, and take him out and share him with people. Now, by the way, you don't have to be extremely intelligent to be able to do that. You don't have to have a bright, glowing testimony in order to be able to do that. You don't have to have a Bible degree in order to be able to do that. Oh, no. If you're saved, you should be able to do that. So, statement number one, we're supposed to take him, that's the light, that's Jesus Christ, into darkness. Statement number two, we're supposed to point to the light. Point to the light. Well, now, if there was somebody, stand up and help me, please, Brother Jonathan, for a moment. And so if there was somebody out there in the woods and they were lost, they didn't know how to get out of the woods. And all of a sudden, they saw this man walking along, and he has a flashlight, and he is coming that direction. Well, if they were smart, I didn't say wise, they don't have to be wise, just smart. Okay, if they were smart, they would tag up to the guy that has the flashlight to be able to get out of the darkened woods. If the world had any common sense whatsoever, they would not tag up to a religion that's empty and vain, but they would tag up to the light that shows them how to get out of darkness. All right, and so what I should do is I should be able to take Jesus Christ in a dark and stricken world and be able to show Jesus Christ so that others can find their way out of that dark and wicked world. Thank you. Be seated. John chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says this. The Bible says, and the same came, it says, for a witness to bear a witness, it says, now watch it now, came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. And now watch this. He was not that light. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. All right, so wait a minute. So here's what he's saying. He's saying this. He's saying that here was those that were sent, that they were not the light. And by the way, listen to me now. Nobody can get saved through you. Nobody can become a believer by saying, I'm going to receive Mike Wells as my Savior. That would be heresy. That's not right. That's not Bible. But I can show them. I can point them. I can direct them. I can help them to understand that He is the light. So we're out in the woods, and I see a man, and he's got the flashlight on, and as he has the flashlight on, and I find another man that's lost, and he's out in the woods, and I can say, okay, oh, wait a minute, there's a guy right over there. Well, I guess I can't see him, might be a woman, not sure, but I see that light. Now, here's what we can do. In order to be able to get out of the darkness, I find somebody that has the light that's going to direct me out of darkness. Now, can I tell you, if we walk in darkness and we don't bear the light, then nobody can understand how to get out of darkness. By the way, that does have something to do with your testimony. Yes, it does. That does have something to do with you pointing the right direction. Yes, it does. It has a lot to do with the way that we represent Him, the way that we talk to people. Yesterday, thank you, be seated. Yesterday, Sim Anderson, at pastors out in Forney, went soul winning with me yesterday, and also Brother Travis Young. And we went soul winning, and we, did we get wet? Woo! Did we get wet? And I found out that my right shoe apparently had some type of little cut in it, and it was taken in water, and I was sinking. My dry side, which was my left shoe, it was okay. But boy, I'd hit those puddles, and this one stayed dry, and this one got wet, and this one was pointing to that one saying, ha ha. And man, we just got soaked. But we went out, and I knocked on the door, and Brother Anderson was with me, and a young couple came to the door, and I said, now, I'm Pastor Wells, and this is Pastor Anderson from Forney, and we partnered together to go door knocking today, and I just wanted to invite you to church. Do y'all go to church anywhere? No, we don't. Hadn't gone to church yet. Well, that's why I'm here. You're a good candidate. I'd love to invite you to church. But more important than going to church, do you know for sure if you died, you go to heaven? Oh, we don't know that. Well, let's do this. Let me take the Bible and show you how you can know that. By the way, you don't mind if we step in for a little bit, do you? Oh, no, come on in. And so we went inside, and I said, how about if we do this? How about if I just stand right here with you, sir, and I'll show you. We don't have to sit down or anything. I'll just show you right here how to be saved. All of a sudden, his wife walked into the kitchen, and I said, oh, wait a minute. Before I show you how to be saved, let me ask her something. I said, I'm getting ready to show your husband how to go to heaven. What about you? Do you know you're going to go to heaven? She said, oh, no, I don't know that. I said, let's do this. Let's sit down together. Let's sit down together and get comfortable for a little bit. Let's go over here. There's a nice sofa over there. Why don't you two come over and you sit right here, and I'll sit right here, and I'll show you what the Bible says about how to go to heaven. And I sat there beside them, showed them how to go to heaven, and after a little bit, they understood, of course, and I reviewed it with them, and then they bowed their hearts as a young couple, and they received Jesus Christ together as a young couple. Now, can I say this? It is our job to point people to the light. That is our job. It's not my job to try to point them to myself. It's not my job to try to point them to some other type of religion, or if you would please, some other type of person. Oh no, it's Christ and Christ alone. May I say this, statement number one, we're supposed to take Him, that is the light, that's Christ, into darkness. Statement number two, we're supposed to point others to the light. Statement number three, every man has enough light to point them to God and His Son. Every man has enough light to point them to God and His Son. Now, they may not understand it all. You understand that? I mean, Philip running beside the eunuch there in the desert, in the Gaza Strip, he said this. Here the eunuch was reading out of the book of Isaiah, and Philip comes up, that godly deacon, goes over to him and says, understand what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man guide me? So here we understand what happened. Oh, by the way, there was the Macedonia call. You remember that? And there was the man from Macedonia that cried out. Oh, remember my testimony? You remember that there were some things happening in the religion that I was attending, and it kind of flustered me a little bit, and I raised my window up in the middle of July, and I said, "Dear God, if there's more to it than this, would you please show me?" That's that Macedonian call. God, if there's more to it than this, would you please show me? There's got to be more to it than this. The religion I'm practicing is in vain. It's not pure, and something's wrong here. And so, God, would you please show me if there's something more to it? I cried out to the God of heaven. I said, if there's something more to it, will you show me? And I was walking in that carnival ground a couple days later, and a soul winner came up and showed me. Now, can I tell you, here's what we understand. The Bible talks here that every man has enough light to point them towards God, to point them towards the Son of God. John chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says this. The Bible says, that which was the true light, says, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So man has enough light inside of him to say, boy, somebody made that moon. Somebody made that star. Somebody made that sun. Somebody gave us the clouds. Oh, and I wonder who that creator. A watch just does not come together by itself. Has to have a maker. A house is not built by itself. It has to have a maker. You are not built by yourself. All this stuff about evolution, all of a sudden, things begin to spin and then pop. Wait, it's got to have a creator. Now, can I tell you, watch this. We know who that creator is. We know that that is the creator God. And here's what God does. God says, I want everybody to know me. I'm going to give them enough light to be able to have a discernment that there is a creator God. Now, wait a minute. But that creator God also needs us. As the Apostle Paul said this, that he was a chosen vessel. You and I are chosen vessels. Well, what are we chosen vessels to do? Oh, by the way, listen, you know, talking to people about Christ and all, that's a fun thing to do. You don't have to know much to talk to people about Christ, as I said just a moment ago. You know how easy it is to go into a restaurant and as you're leaving say, hey, look, I go to Parkside Baptist Church. I'd like for you to come see us sometime. By the way, on the flip side of this shows you how to go to heaven. Read that sometime. That'd be a blessing to you. That wasn't hard. That one, you're not forcing it down their throat. You're not going up to them and saying, look here now, you better read this and you better understand this, because if you don't, you hear me now, if you don't, you hear me good and well. If you don't, you're going to burn. Don't do that. You know? Now, it might be somebody really searching like him. Pray for him, please. But we understand this. We understand that we are supposed to take him. He's the light. That's Christ. Into the darkness. We understand that we're supposed to point to the light. We understand that every man, every woman, if you will, is given enough light to point them towards God and the Son of God. We understand this, that light is a type, a picture, if you will, of salvation. Aren't you so glad you got saved? You know, the Bible says that the Word of God is spiritually discerned. You know what that means? That means that a child of God who is now spiritual, because they were birthed into the family of God, now you can understand the Bible. You ever wonder why? You ever wonder why that people will say, well, I tell you what, we use the King James Bible here, by the way, unapologetically. But people say, well, I can't understand the Bible. Well, a lost person never will understand the Bible. Amen. They won't, because the Bible is spiritually discerned. Now, when you get saved, you'll be able to understand the Bible better. It blows my mind. Some people say, well, I'm not going to use that old King, they call it old. I'm not going to use that old King James Bible. I'm going to go get me an NIV, and I'll use that. That's what I'll do. But the NIV is written on the eighth grade educational level. And the King James Bible is written on a fourth grade educational level. Now, if you can't understand something simple, don't go get something harder. Amen. And by the way, don't get something that changes Bible doctrine. There's eight essential doctrines that the NIV changes or takes out. If I was going to get a Bible and use it, I think I'd rather get a Bible that contains the whole truth and not part of the truth. Now, wait a minute. Here's what we understand. We understand that God has given us light. We understand that we're supposed to point to that light. We understand that every man's given enough light to understand that there is a God and has a Son. Over in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, the Bible says, and the people, it says, the people that walketh or walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, says, upon them, it says, hath the light shined. All right? So the light, when you see the light, that's a picture of salvation. Every time you see the sun, it identifies, it witnesses that there is a God. Every time you see the stars at night, every time you see the moon at night, and you look up, that is a witness of the handiwork of God. Every time you see the Christmas lights that people put up, that's a witness of God. Walk into the mall, you see the light, that's a witness of God. See the flashlight burning as it shows forth, that's a witness of God. Every time that you see the light, hey, don't you thank God that this morning we sit in light and not in darkness? It'd be hard. I was preaching one time up in Alabama, and I was having a conference, a revival conference, and it was on a Tuesday night, and a storm came passing by, and the lights went out. Now, what did we do? Well, some of the people had flashlights and cell phones and stuff like that, and so we lit up the place, and we still had service, but if it wasn't for the light, we would not be, stay with me, we would not be able to see and understand the truth. The Holy Spirit helps us by showing us truth because He liveth and abideth in us. I'm saying this. I'm saying that we're supposed to take Him, the light, that's Christ, into a dark world. We're supposed to point to the light. Every man has enough light inside of him to be able to have a yearning desire to know more about the Creator God and His Son. The light is a type of salvation. Statement number next: the higher the light is raised, the farther it shines. Now, why am I supposed to lift up Christ? Why am I supposed not to lift me up? Well, first off, I can't save anyone, but He can save everyone. So I'm not supposed to be somebody that tries to build a kingdom. I worry about these churches that are personality driven. People say, well, I'm going to go to that church because I like his personality. One day his personality will be dead. What are you going to do now? Well, I just like hanging around so-and-so because they've got a neat personality. Oh, no. You ought to be drawn to that which is the Word of God. And as you're drawn to, by the way, isn't it something how God has different personalities? Isn't that neat? Some people get up and they never move from behind the pulpit. Some people get up and they cannot stand but to move around the pulpit. Some people speak in a monotone voice, and some people get up and they start hitting the pulpit and hollering. The very second they get up, they're full of energy and it lasts for 25, 30, 40 minutes. It should not be the dynamics of the preacher that causes us to pay good attention, but rather the content of the message that causes us. But I realize we're in a game playing society. I realize that. I realize that. I realize that young people today, if they can't live on the edge of excitability and everything be on that edge of excitability, then it's considered boring. By the way, that's how come they fail in school. Yeah. They can't take time to read it. If somebody doesn't read it to them and explain it to them, then they don't have the character to read it, digest it, comprehend it, so that they can do well and be able to go further in society. I'm saying this. I'm saying, here's what we understand. We understand that the higher the light is lifted up, the higher we raise the Lord Jesus Christ, the further that He shines. So my responsibility is to simply lift Him up. Lift Him up. Lift Him up. Lift Him up. By the way, the Bible says when you lift Him up, He'll draw all men onto Himself. So when I lift Him up, what takes place is okay, so let's just say that this is the Lord right here. This is the Lord. And so as the Lord is lifted up, so we got the Lord. And by the way, the Lord is not necessarily this short. But let's say that I take Him, sit down on me here. Just sit down. There you go. Let's say, you're heavier than what you look. Let's say that I lift Him up. Now, as I lift Him up, let me have my tie. As I lift Him up, here's what takes place. As I lift Him higher than myself, watch this, stay with me now. As I lift Him higher than myself, then even people from a great distance can see Him. And by the way, it's better for them, if this would represent the Lord, it's better for them to see Him than it is for them to see a failing man. Because in Him is all perfection. You ever see these guys? They're all about themselves. They walk around. They got their chest poking out, swinging their arms like, ooh, it's about me. Well, the problem is, when they reach 80, they won't swing so much. But He's the Lord thy God, He changeth not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So may I explain, please? My job as a parent is simply to lift Him up. You say, well, I tell you what, I tell my kids, they shouldn't do that. Oh, but can I tell you, dear friend, if you point them to a Bible verse and show them this pleases the Lord, it makes a difference. It does. One day, you're going to be gone. And the only thing your kids are going to remember is the influence that you left on them. But what if my influences, all they saw, hey, Daddy loved the Lord. Daddy came to church and was faithful because he loved the Lord. Daddy read his Bible because he loved the Lord. Daddy was always pointing to people, Jesus Christ, because he loved the Lord. Daddy got excited about preaching, and Daddy got excited about giving, and Daddy got excited about living for God, and Daddy got, and says the same thing about Mama. Would that have an impression? Well, sure it would. Now, you be careful, my dear friend. You be careful about getting discouraged about every little thing. Amen. Well, that just bothers me, so I just don't think I'm going to come to church. Don't slap God that way. Amen. Don't do that. Be big enough to get over it. But doesn't the Bible say, great peace have they that love thy law? You like sitting up here? Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So we understand this. We understand the deeper a man walks with God, the less offended they become. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, that offended me. Oh, I'm sorry you didn't walk with the Lord like you should have. Now, may I say this? Listen, here's what we understand. We understand I have a responsibility. What am I supposed to do? Lift Him up. Lift Him up. Lift Him up. Because as all men look onto Him, by the way, if I'm doing my job lifting Him up, that is a responsibility. If I do my job lifting Him up, then they're not going to pay attention to me. They're going to pay attention to the one that's raised higher. And He'll always do His job. What will He do? He'll draw all men onto Himself, all right? And so here's what we understand. We understand this, that we're supposed to take Him. That's the light. That's Jesus Christ in the darkness. We're supposed to point to that light. Every man has enough light in him to understand that there is a Creator God. That light is a type of salvation. I'm supposed to lift Him up higher than anything else so that He shines. Matthew chapter 5, I'm almost done. Verse 15, the Bible says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, But it says, on a candlestick, and giveth light onto, listen to it now, all that are in the house. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to lift him so high everybody can see him. Last statement, I'm done, and that is this. And we are also the light of the world. We're not supposed to hide Christ. We're not supposed to hide Christ. You know, when you go in and you get a good sale, say, amen. Boy, that's good. God is good. Always talk about God. You as a young person, carry your Bible to the public school. Carry it. When you get on a plane to fly somewhere, open your Bible. Open your Bible, read it. Let people see you're not ashamed of him. When you out to eat in the market areas or in the stores, restaurants, whatever, can I tell you? When you go out to eat, pray publicly, unashamedly. And by the way, pray a little bit longer. That way, don't do this. Dear Father, bless the food. Amen. Take time. Father, thank you for today. Now, you don't have to pray for, an hour. Your food's going to get cold. But you could pray just a wee bit longer. Dear Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege of serving you. Thank you that you've given us food and the preparation of it. Thank you so much. Give us the strength we need to be able to make it through today. You can slow it down just a little bit. There's no hurry. Here it is. I said this. We are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, ye are the light of the world. It says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Years ago, there was a blind man. He had a lantern. It's back in the 1800s. He had a lantern. He's outside with the lantern. A blind man, outside with the lantern. He was walking along. A man came up to him and said, hey, you're blind. We know. I mean, we know you. I mean, you live in the village. You're blind. Why in the world do you have a lantern? You don't need a lantern. You're blind. Oh, he said, that's exactly why I need a lantern. He said, because I don't want people to trip over me. I'm not worried about where I'm seeing I'm going. I'm concerned about people not seeing me while I'm going. Now, can I tell you, when you allow him to be the light of your world, it makes a difference to everybody around you. Father, bless, we pray. Thank you for church. Thank you for the opportunity to come. Open the Bible, learn and grow. Father, help us to understand.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.